Good evening. Welcome to the evening service from Bethel Evangelical Church. And we pray that God will be with us now as we sing to his praise, hear his word read and explained and expounded. So we're going to begin with reading Psalm 93, a lovely psalm. Then we're going to open in prayer and then read, take our reading straight away from the New Testament. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading the 10 verses. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago. You are from eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to meet around your word this evening. And as families and individuals and couples are gathering now, sitting on a sofa, with the open scriptures before them, Lord, we would ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would minister to us in our great need. Lord, as we heard the thunder roar yesterday and the rain and the storm come to us, Lord, would you be pleased in the power of your Spirit to quicken us and to make us alive unto the things of God. For Jesus Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Our reading then from the New Testament this evening, 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Paul, Silas and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved of God, that he hath chosen you, because our gospel came not to you simply in words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction or much assurance. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And we in a moment will be looking together at verse 3 of this first chapter. Now let's ask the Lord's blessing on this time together in his word this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures which can make us wise unto salvation. May your words instruct us this evening, inform us. May your word, Lord, also challenge us. You know where we are in relationship to you, whether we have truly believed and trusted in you, whether we once did that and yet now, Lord, are faltering and are perhaps far away, walking as it is at a distance from you, or whether, Lord, we are seeking to follow you and to serve you and need that word of encouragement. So, Lord, may your word feed us and deal with us as we stand in need of you this evening. O word of ever the ever-living God, will of the glorious Son, Without thee, how could earth be trod or heaven itself be won? Lord, grant us all a right to learn the wisdom it imparts, and to its heavenly teaching turn with simple, childlike hearts. We also, Lord, remember before you our missionaries whom we support in the church, and we pray, Lord, for those who are home on furlough, those, Lord, as well, still in the field in Papua New Guinea, Southern Ireland. And Lord, we would ask then your blessing upon them for safekeeping. And Lord, if then this virus does appear in their countries, Lord, would you be with those who are serving you there and with the population at large, less well equipped than we are here in the Western world. Lord, pardon us now our many sins and continue with us in this service for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning then to that third verse in 1 Thessalonians this evening. We read, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. We began our studies a fortnight ago in this book, one of the first, probably the first letter that Paul ever wrote to a church. We know Paul had to move on from Thessalonica after a short stay of no more than 4 or 5 weeks in Thessalonica because of objection and opposition from some of the citizens of Thessalonica. But in that time, 4 to 5 weeks, the Lord graciously saved a number of people. And you can read the account, we mentioned it last week, in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. Now, Paul had moved first then on to Berea, and then he moved on to Athens and Corinth. Now, chapter 3 of this letter, verse 1, tells us that when he was at Athens, Paul sends Timothy back to the Thessalonians to find out how this young group of believers are faring. How are they getting on? And we read that in chapter 3 and verse 6 of this letter, that Timothy's returning with good news. And the good news is this, that he brought good news about their faith and love. So Paul then writes this letter as a means of encouragement to them, for them to continue in the ways of God. Now, verse 3, which is our text tonight, tells us that every time he thought about them, linked to verse 2 as well, he had cause to be thankful to God for the outworking of the grace of salvation in their lives. And we're going to look at these three virtues that are mentioned in verse 3 this evening. And notice that they're almost plaited and knotted together as a cord would be. And a threefold cord in that sense, which appears a number of times in the New Testament. They're always found together, and Paul considers them as three very clear evidences of the election or the choosing of God, which he refers to in verse 4 with regards to God working in the lives of these Thessalonians. And we can simply look at them tonight. They're mentioned here as a faith and love and hope. And we can perhaps consider to what extent those are evident in our lives. They are evidences of God's salvation. Is there evidence at all of them in our lives? We won't be asking how strong they are. We're asking, are they present? Are they in us? Which is clear evidence of God working in our hearts. Now, we find that these three are often mentioned, we've said. They're often mentioned and read in a well-known passage, often read at weddings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The emphasis there in that chapter is upon love. So we're not surprised to find that love is the last one that is mentioned. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 reads, but now these three remain faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Well, here we notice that it's hope that is mentioned at the end of the three, the threefold, the triad of these virtues. And the reason for that is that this letter that Paul writes to the Thessalonians is concentrating upon the hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We haven't time to look at the five references this evening, but we know that this letter was one letter. It wasn't divided up into chapters. That came much later. for our benefit, and he's to remember where things are in this letter. But more or less, if you trace through, I'll give you the first and the last, but if you look through this letter, more or less at the end of every chapter, there is a reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, a hope that we have in him for eternal life and his return. Mention just the first and the last, and you can check the others in chapters 2, 3, and 4 at your leisure. Chapter 1, verse 10, we read there, to wait for his Son from heaven. There it is. There's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ's return. The last chapter, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, it's part of Paul's benediction and best wish or prayer for them. Declaration, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that these three then are intricately linked one with the other. It's interesting that these three virtues, the emphasis is not so much upon the virtues. In the original Greek text, the emphasis is upon the verbs. So we're reading of a labor, we're reading of a working out, we're reading of an enduring or a persevering. And that's where the emphasis lays. The three virtues are obviously important, but what Paul is speaking about here is that these three virtues, these three characteristics are being worked out in the lives of the Thessalonians. And that's clear proof that God is at work in them. So it's important then, how can we, as we approach these three virtues this evening, we look at them together and see how they're being worked out in the lives of the Thessalonians, as Paul refers to it here, and then we will apply it and think about to what extent are they being worked out in our lives here at this particular time, at this great time of difficulty and concern for us, unusual times, as we say, that we're living through. So one commentator has said, with regards to the Christian life, God chooses his people, and then God changes his people. So if someone was to tell you, oh, I think I'm favored by God, I think God has chosen me and loves me and cares for me and provides for me. But if that person shows no evidence of faith in Christ, no evidence of love for fellow believers, no hope in the Lord Jesus Christ's second coming, living completely for the life of this world only, well, despite the profession, you could say, well, where's the evidence? Where's the working out of this salvation in their lives? So God chooses and he then changes. And these then are not believers who are yet mature. Remember, they were only Christians a few months before Paul is writing a letter to them to encourage them to continue in the things of God. But the seed of salvation is planted in their hearts. It may be that those little seeds, you may have done something like this. We're all having to stay in over the summer, aren't we? We won't be going away. So some of us are planting up. For the first time for many years, I'm planting tomato plants this year. I'm put the seed in. We've already got a few little indications of them growing. So a seed can become a sapling. And then well after that, it becomes a tree, a sturdy tree. And this is what we're looking for, just the evidence that it's begun in us. We know we're not yet mature. We're not yet rounded out. We're not yet brought to perfection. But there's evidence of these three, faith and love and hope in us now. So it's evidence of new life, is it not? It's the seed, the small sapling and the growing tree. That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Now, let's have a look then at these three together. The first is mentioned here. The Apostle Paul says, we continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith. What we can say is this. There can be no doubt about it that the Thessalonians have evidence in their lives of God working in them, God changing them. The faith that is working itself in them is more than just a simple intellectual tick box. Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? What they believe, or more importantly, in who they believe, is having an impact on their daily life. You see, people believe in lots of things. But it makes no impression, no impact, no difference to the way they live their lives. And you see, we've lived in a country that perhaps in decades past has considered itself to be basically a Christian country. Oh, I'm a Christian. But what's the evidence of that? What's the evidence? Is there faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it affect, does it make a difference to the daily life? Not just now to something that happens on a Sunday when a suit goes on and a tie goes on, but what is it like for the other 6 days of the week? Well, we know that salvation is by grace. Paul wrote to the Ephesians about that. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We cannot work for salvation. It cannot be earned. Salvation is the gift of God's grace. But when it is implanted in our lives as a gift, it begins to work itself out in a life of trust, a life of confidence in God, a life of believing the promises. I'm not asking this evening to what extent your faith is strong. You might be able to say, well, I have faith, but it's small faith, it's weak faith. But it is, if it is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's faith. I'm asking you, in who are you trusting? We're going through these difficult times, these last 8 or 9 weeks, and we know we've got at least another 3 weeks of these particular circumstances that we have to live by. In whom are you trusting at this time? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Saviour? Is this faith working out itself in your life? Is it producing a life of faith, a life of confidence, a life of trust in Jesus Christ? So through the present difficulties that we're going, is there evidence? The difficulties are certainly there, but is there evidence that this faith is there? Is it being worked out? Are we coming to God in prayer? Are we praying to him? Are we thanking him for his blessings of safe protection? Are we praying for others who have the duties and responsibilities to care for those who are in need at this time? Are we finding ourselves turning to the Word of God, seeking for its encouragement and comfort through this time? Are we sharing that with others as well? Here's the evidence that faith is working itself out in our lives. Now, secondly, this evening, I want you to consider this phrase that follows. We constantly remember before God and our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love. Now, if one is an outworking of faith, the second now is more of an exertion. It sounds as if labour and work mean the same to us. But there is this distinction. One is a working out, and the other now then is an exertion. It's an exercising of love, of loving concern for others. And we know by nature, we are self-loving. We primarily think of ourselves. And the central truth of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, came into the world not so much thinking of himself, but thinking of others. A man who lived his life for others with the purpose of saving them and redeeming them and rescuing them. And this is something then that needs to be worked out. As the Lord Jesus Christ loved us and we are aware of his love for us at the cross, then we also then seek by the work of the Spirit in our hearts to love one another. The principle of love was implanted in the Thessalonian believers here. It involved more than a love of their immediate family. This is something that is part of common grace. You see it in the animal kingdom. You see it in a mother. She'll suckle her young. She'll seek to bring them up and to train them out to hunt, perhaps, if they're wild animals. So we see something similar. There's a love for immediate family. That's common grace. But the Christian is someone who looks beyond their immediate family. They're not only talking about, whenever you speak to someone, they're not only talking about their family. They have wider interests, wider concerns, wider expressions, wider exertions with regards to the expression of love. It's also something that involves something of a love of companions, certainly, and friends, but it also involves a sense of a sacrificial element. We know there are these different words in the New Testament. We have one word for love. There are three or four basic words in the original Greek language that speaks, and the sacrificial one is that agape love that speaks of a love that is self-giving rather than self-absorbed and self-restricting. It's the virtue, this virtue of love, that Jesus spoke about on the night he was betrayed. You remember, he'd washed the disciples' feet. It's recorded in John chapter 13. And then he speaks to them about a new commandment. A new command I give you, he said, love one another as I have loved you. That's the reference to the sacrificial love. As you must love one another, so you must love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Now, we are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Thessalonians had been told by Paul as he preached to them. You read of it there in Acts 17. He spoke in the synagogue for three Sabbath days, and he spoke to them about the fact that Christ must suffer and rise from the dead. And this work of salvation was on their behalf. And so as they had been loved by Jesus, so now they seek to love others who love Jesus as well. It is this that Paul refers to then in 1 Thessalonians in this letter, chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, now then, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 10, the following verse reads, and in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So there's evidence of love. It's the love in expression and response to the love of Jesus Christ for them. They're loving others who are trusting in the Lord Jesus. They are loving others whom they would seek to win and bring to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, as you were taught by God, perhaps the Apostle Paul had mentioned this command that Jesus had given, which is the essential one. And he said, there's evidence, clear evidence. This is what I'm hearing of the area of Macedonia. We remember Thessalonica, Philippi, Berea. They were cities in the area of Macedonia. And the news is coming back that there's evidence that these Thessalonians are loving each other and loving fellow believers also. Now, again, this evening, I'm not asking you how strong your love for fellow believers is. Is it a strong love? I'm simply asking this. Is there a seed? Is there a sapling of this virtue in you? As we draw nearer to God in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we appreciate more and more how much the Lord Jesus Christ has loved us, so we will want and desire then to love those who love him, and to seek to win others to him also. So let me ask, secondly, by way of application, in these present difficulties, has there been an increase of love in your heart, or has it perhaps diminished somewhat? Are you so self-absorbed with your circumstances, with your needing to have full cupboards of food, needing to make sure your medication is, making sure that you stay well, so that you have no thought at all for anybody else who may be in need? Well, the Christian be someone who will say, well, I know it, there's a risk in life, of course, but I feel this sense of a desire, an exertion, an exercise of love to share with one another. And I'm sure that we're seeing evidence of this at this time in our land. There are many people who are serving the Lord and loving his people and seeking to help so many at this time. And that can be an evidence, again, of the true work of God in our hearts. But it's more than just being a humanitarian. It's more than just caring for the community. These three, you see, go hand in hand. Love for God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love for humankind. And then thirdly, we're coming to it now, this hope. And this is, again, something that marks out the Christian. Hope. We don't forget the reason why Paul had to leave Thessalonica so quickly. Opposition had increased there. And so Paul, in writing this letter, having received this news from Timothy that they are still going on in the things of God, he was concerned, would these believers continue? Would they endure? Would they carry on? Or would they give up if the opposition and persecution came? What Paul is hearing from Timothy is that they are continuing. They are following on. Well, what's keeping them going? We need to ask this question, and it may be something that's of help to us. What keeps us going in the Christian life? It is the hope. This is what's clear here. We read it, the third element. Yes, we've talked about your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance or perseverance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. The inspiration of this hope is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know, he came the first time. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived that perfect life. He died upon the cross to take our sins away. And the scripture says that the one who first came, he will come again. This is what the angel said to the disciples as they were seeing the Lord Jesus leave them. At the end of, you read of it at the end of the Gospels and at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles, this same Jesus who has gone from you will come again, will in like manner, will return in like manner. So he has promised to come. And these believers are continuing to live for him in anticipation of his coming and in expectancy of his coming. And they know that he will come back for them. And that's going to mean either that he returns and we are still alive and on the earth. And this is something the Apostle Paul will deal with as an issue in this fourth chapter of this book, because there were some believers who had died and some others were concerned, well, would they miss out on the resurrection? They needed a little bit of instruction with regards to the doctrine of the last things, the eschatology, the subject of the last things. Well, Paul will deal with that in chapter four, but there's no doubt you're a believers who are trusting and looking to God at this time. Now, the other citizens in Thessalonica don't have this hope at all. Oh, they have their days of activity. They have their nights of entertainment. They have their civic celebrations. They have their high holidays and days of feasting to look forward to, certainly. But they've got no hope in Jesus Christ. They are, as again, Paul spoke to the Ephesians, that at one time they were without God and without hope in this world. But these believers are living their lives now in the light of this promise that he will come again. And this is what we read in verse 10 at the last verse of this chapter, that they are those who are waiting for his son from Jesus, from heaven, even Jesus, who was raised from the dead. Here's another evidence then of God's election of them, the choosing of them. You see, what we see, what we are seeing here in these Thessalonians is something quite important. I probably had conversation with scores of people over the decades about the Christian faith and about beginning the journey. And quite a number have set out, quite a number have begun. They've started on the journey. But what we read is this, that those who are chosen by God, those who are also being changed by God, are not starters only, they're stickers at it as well. They persevere. They endure. Despite the opposition, it may have been perhaps that when you were first converted, you were the only person in your family. And everybody else said, what are you spending your Sundays like that for? And you're going to church twice? And why are you reading that Bible? Haven't you read it through yet? And perhaps they didn't understand. You were the only one. And perhaps you were under some sort of persuasion to pack it all in. But you see, if God's grace was working in your heart, it's that seed. And you see it in some of these tarmacs places. Some of the stuff that pushes up through there, they would be held back. You've seen it in graveyards as well, even through granite stones and marble stonework. These little plants, they push their way up. It's evidence of life. This is what we're seeing here in these Thessalonians. Despite the opposition that caused Paul to have to leave early from Thessalonica, they're pressing on. They're not starters only, they're stickers too. Yes, certainly there are seasons of trial, and there are seasons of trouble, and perhaps we feel ourselves to be passing through something similar to that at the moment, when perhaps the outworking of faith and love and hope is stalled momentarily. But let's be clear. The true chosen one of God, the one who is called by him, the one who is the elect, the one then who has evidence whom God is changing from glory into glory, will never be a rusty piece of machinery. If that's the case, that you made profession of faith many years ago and there's been no growth, there's been no evidence, there's been no increase of love and trust and faith and hope, well then it's probably best to consider that whatever it was, an emotional experience you went through, your friends perhaps were saying they were saved and they were converted, they became a Christian, and you thought, oh, I'd better say the same to stay friends with them. Well, it was simply that, something emotional, something superficial, temporary. It wasn't lasting. It's best not to think that you are a Christian and just that you've fallen on hard times. If it's gone on a period of time, if it's gone on for years, better to doubt whether that conversion was real to start with. But let me say this, start this evening. You see, you can start now. It's never too late to start until it's too late. And this evening you can make that start. Yes, there are seasons of trial and trouble when perhaps things do stall, but we don't rust out. There is this working out of the gift of salvation in our hearts, this trusting God, this loving of fellow believers, this continuing, this enduring, this seeing things through until the Saviour either comes or he calls for us. So let us work then out these things. Let us ask, is this a description of you this evening? It was a description of the Thessalonians. Paul had no doubt about it. That was the evidence that was coming back. What about you this evening? Are you trusting? Is your faith working? Are you loving as you love others who are in need, other believers? Are you exercised? Are you exerting yourself with regards to that? Do you find something within your heart that responds to that? It cannot but do otherwise. Are you continuing despite the setbacks, despite the difficulties? Are you looking alone to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, these are three then clear evidences of the work of grace in the heart. Is it the seed of salvation planted within us? Is it perhaps developing into a sapling? Will we feed then this new life so that we will become sturdy, solid oaks or cedar trees? Pillars, that is then, in that sense, standing firm so that the storms of life might blow, but we will continue to trust and to believe. And to be an example, as we will read further on, these believers were an example to others of what a change had taken place in their lives. And we'll come back to look at that on a future occasion. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us this evening. We pray God's blessing upon you for the remainder of the week.